Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week we have
it's a special show because the magical studio in the sky hit a comet, got split into two halves, and we're at two disparate locations.
Yes, and through the wonders of the internet, the interwebs, as I like to call them.
That's right, and we're testing out technology.
We've created our own virtual magical studio in the sky. I think that's what we're going to call it, the virtual magical studio in the sky.
Or the viral magic. No, that doesn't sound right.
Yes, or we could just call it Flapjack.
Flapjack. That could work, too. We'll call it the magical studio in the sky, the Flapjack contingency.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So, and moving on from that, let's talk about how you can virtually get a hold of us, and then we're going to talk about the four releases. Only four this week.
No. Yeah, I mean, it was like eight a couple weeks ago.
I know. This week was significantly less stressful. But before we get into all that, here's how you can get a hold of us. FatGuysTheMovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys The Movies. You can email us, FatGuysAtFilmSchoolRejects.com, or hit us with a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735. Unfortunately, we didn't get any this week.
Word to your mother.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, apparently, Don from California understood and accepted our whole preemptive suck argument from last weekend.
Oh, she did?
Well, she didn't call back and say you guys are full of it.
Right. Well, maybe
she
hasn't
just
listened
stopped
to
listening
show.
Altogether.
Maybe she listened to it and then was like, you know what? These guys are obviously off their rocker. I'm not going to listen to them ever again.
That's right.
It's happened before. So.
Well, I'm sure it has.
Sweet.
Should we move on to reviews since we have four movies?
Why not? I like this segment because these two movies you saw and I didn't. So I have to
see.
There's like no pressure here for me.
You're totally lazy. You'll just like make fun of me, which is no different than any other day. Of course, next segment will be good because I think there's going to be a smackdown, but over the movie that you might think.
Right. Right.
Meaning the audience. I think you know what smackdown we're going to
potentially
going to smack down.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyways, okay. What's the first movie on this segment?
Sex Drive. A high school senior drives across several states in order to hook up with a girl he met on the internet.
Ian, you're 18 and you've never had a girlfriend. That's how people wind up getting gay.
I don't think that's really how it happens. And anyway, there is a girl.
Where'd you meet her?
Online.
What? Don't you watch Dateline? She's probably a guy.
Need some help?
No offense.
Oh, right, because I'm Amish, so I wouldn't know anything about your 69 GTO Judge. 455 big block Ram Air.
Well, good luck with the future ride, spaceman.
Now, what's funny about this movie is this was the movie we were snubbed at Comic-Con when me and Robert Fury from Film School Rejects tried to get in the press line and like the... They were so disorganized because they had all the Twilight moms and all the Twilighters out there. That we didn't get anywhere near the press line.
Yes.
And I was determined to trash the movie.
Because it's from Summit Entertainment, which it's fancy that you mentioned Twilight, because I was literally thinking about it today. And I was like, man, Twilight, next month will come out with the essential teen girl movie. Mm. And Sex Drive could be, you know, the essential teen guy movie.
I have to say, I'm actually somewhat impressed with what Summit has released. They did like Penelope, and
which was good.
You know, and Sex Drive. Actually, Sex Drive's pretty good. It's very funny. It's sort of like, you know, how every... Do you remember a couple weeks ago when they had College, when the movie College came out?
Yeah.
A couple months ago. And they're like every... You know, they had Animal House in the 70s. They had American Pie in the 90s and Porky's in the 80s. Now we've got College. That wasn't the American Pie of this generation. This one actually stands a chance. It's actually very funny. It's a sex comedy. There's nudity. There's sex.
I heard it's pretty raunchy.
It's pretty raunchy. Not as raunchy as Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Which we saw.
We did saw.
We'll talk about next week.
Did I just say which we did saw?
We did saw it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's Halloween time, so it must be saw.
You misdispronunciated that.
Thank you. You're a great American. anyways, no, I got to give Sex Drive I'm going to say it rocks, actually. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. And the acting's works for what it is. It has plenty of hot chicks in it, which is sort of a qualification for that sort of teen sex road comedy.
Yep. Nice.
I liked it.
Well, you're actually not the you're not the only person I've heard say that. In fact, really? The other person that told me that they really were surprised at how much they enjoyed it was Dave Metzger, who we've had on the show before, who generally has about the most opposite opinion of you possible when it comes to movies.
Well, so. And also he's not the teen sex road comedy kind of guy that, that I necessarily would fall into.
So I thought that spoke volumes that I heard the same thing from both you and him. So since you were the only two that saw it.
Yeah, that's right. Even though there were like 9,000 screenings of it.
Odd.
But yeah, kind of rocks, fully rocks for me.
Nice.
But let's move on to one that is not going to get a fully rocks. Just to give you a little taste. It's The Secret Life of Bees. Dakota Fanning plays a 14-year-old girl in 1964 who runs away from her abusive father.
Who we got here?
I'm Lily, and this is Rosaline. We need a place to stay. You see, my mother died when I was little, and my daddy just got killed in the tractor accident on our farm. We're on our way to Virginia, so I don't have money for a train ticket or a motel, and not that anyone would take in a Negro woman, even though it's a violation of the Civil Rights Act.
You know she's in some kind of trouble.
Well, who's gonna take them in if we don't?
So what if that trouble follows them?
Now, in case you were wondering, this is not the one where Dakota Fanning gets sexually assaulted. That was Hound Dog. That came out earlier this summer.
What do you mean? It looks exactly like it.
I'm watching this movie. I don't know what it... I'm going to admit, first of all, this is
Did
not my
cup of tea.
Did it
need a rape scene? Is that what you're trying to say?
Wow. Maybe? I don't know. I'm not... But you thought that it was going there. It was totally... And I'm going to just step into a huge bear trap here, but what is it about women that want to see movies where people get abused and have awful lives? Why does that define a woman's movie?
Even better question, why is it that Dakota Fanning keeps popping up in movies where either she is or is going towards being sexually abused? Is it does she have an abusive wish?
Her father's just physically abusive. He's played by Paul Bettany, but it's like he's such just this. I'm just a Southern guy, and I'm just gonna beat you. He's like wearing the wife beater shirt,
like the British guy.
Yeah, like the guy who's married to Jennifer Connelly.
I'm not seeing that at all.
I mean, he does a good job, but it's like got Queen Latifah, and it's all about the sort of like the civil rights movement and what it was like in South Carolina, even though they passed the civil rights laws, people weren't doing it. And of course they walk into town in one scene and you got it's just like so ridiculously stereotypical where the guys are like, yeah, you better not come in here and register to vote. It literally is like a scene from Deliverance without, as I said, there's no sexual assault.
But you're implying that it needed some.
I don't know. I'm not saying it needed some. I fell asleep in it. I had to go out and go to the bathroom. I almost didn't come back. This movie's only 109 minutes, but it is the longest 109 minutes you will spend in a theater this year.
Until we talk about another movie in the next segment. Which
seriously. I saw W, wasn't a big fan of it. Then I saw A Secret Life of Bees, and I'm like, yeah, W wasn't so bad. But the crowd seemed to like it. If you like that sort of like that, you know, old ladies book club book type thing, then you'll see this. But guys, run away fast and furious, please.
Right. Find the movie where Dakota Fanning actually gets raped.
Nice. Okay.
I think it's time to go to break.
This one sucked, so let's move on.
All right. Back here on Fat Guys the Movies, still in the virtual studio, Magic Studio in the Sky.
What would be the point of then going back to the having them merge together? Like the
it'd be weird.
Like the
I will say this: the virtual studio in the sky does smell better.
Are you implying that I stink by not being in the magical studio in the sky?
I'm saying that people should take from that comment whatever they like.
I'm going to package my stench and mail it to you through FedEx.
Nice.
And charge it to your account. Nice.
Cool. Well, while I wait on that, let's talk about the other two movies of the week.
Yes.
First one is which is Oliver Stone vents his spleen all over President Bush.
If I remember correctly, you didn't like the sporting goods job.
So what you want?
Come on, baby.
Working in the investment firm wasn't for you either.
Or the oil rig job.
You didn't exactly finish up with flying colors in the Air National Guard, Junior.
What are you cut out for? Partying, chasing tail, driving drunk?
I got it.
Who do you think you are?
A Kennedy?
You're a Bush. Act like one.
Wow. I must say that I have to admit that you wrote that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would describe the movie as Oliver Stone venting his spleen. I would call it...
He definitely has an axe to grind with the president.
He does. But I would call it the cinematic equivalent of him curling up into the fetal position.
You mean Oliver Stone?
Because... Oliver Stone, yes. Because okay. It was really... He didn't grind the axe. I mean, if there was an axe involved, it was Oliver Stone, like... attempting to hit, holding it backwards, upside down, and trying to hit George Bush with it.
So what you're saying is he didn't do enough? He should have made it worse?
He should have taken some sort of stance. I think that was probably what bothered me the most about this movie, is that it felt like it lacked any sense of purpose. It felt like it lacked any sense of message, and it was really just kind of a smattering of different anecdotes from the life of George Bush.
See, but I took that he did come in with a message. He came in with a message that Bush is a complete moron. I mean, from the beginning, top down. I mean, complete utter moron, like a Daffy Duck who just stumbles into the presidency, and mm-hmm. and that was his. He's basically saying, how'd this moron get up here? And here's the thing, on a political note, I don't care who you are, you get elected to the presidency, especially if you do it twice. You're probably smarter than people give you credit for.
Well, and I think that comes out in the movie. I think
really?
Oliver Stone almost kind of paints George Bush. I honestly watched the movie and I was like Oliver Stone must like George Bush more than he lets on.
See, I didn't get that at all. I mean, he's showing him, he's having conversations with people while he's on the toilet. They're showing him hung over in bed with his, in his underpants, and he's like eating a sandwich and like going blah 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 in front of the screen. I mean, it's not nasty. I guess you could say it was. It's not him. It doesn't bring in Dakota Fanning and have him sexually assault her or anything like that.
But it needed a good rape scene.
Wow.
No, I really think that. It was kind of soft, but it was also not only soft, but really almost what's the best word? Almost kind of a nice movie about George Bush.
See, I didn't see it. It's not nice at all. And you know why? Because you really, really don't like Bush, right? Is that fair to say?
He's not my favorite president the 43 that have come. he's definitely not in the top five.
Okay, but so you're very you lean to the left, and that's
but
cool.
I am totally a baby killing tree hugging liberal, if that's what you're
well yeah
saying.
But you also don't like Bush. I think really what it is if you don't like Bush, you'll get a laugh out of it watching him do this. If you like Bush, it's still not It's you're not going to want to see this because it really puts him in humiliating situations, and it seriously makes it like he's just. I looked at this movie as if he just stumbled into the presidency, and I'm like, that's not actually how it happened. And the guy has a little more wits about him than his public speaking would lead you to believe.
I think Josh Brolin was very good though.
Oh, I thought he did a spot on Bush. I mean, what's funny is there were so many famous people playing famous people. It was like a Saturday Night Live sketch without the jokes.
That's really kind of what it felt like.
Yeah, and like some of them were really good. Like I thought Josh Brolin did a great Bush. He didn't go caricature-y, whereas like Thandie Newton as Condoleezza Rice. Oh my
Lord.
Oh,
that was terrible.
I wanted to shoot
myself.
It was so embarrassing. I literally couldn't watch it on screen. And it has nothing to do with my political leanings. I'm just like, she did a terrible. She was like, she literally belonged on Saturday Night Live for that. But like.
It was uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. Toby Jones as Karl Rove was good. And Richard Dreyfuss as Dick Cheney was good. And then like James Cromwell as George Bush Sr., he didn't even try. He just like, hey, I'm not
James Cromwell.
Yeah, you're like, hey, it's a guy from Babe. He's like, I'm not even gonna do an impression. I'm gonna be Jack Bauer's dad.
Nice. All right, cool. Well, let's final grade this one and move on.
I thought it sucked. Not as bad as The Secret Life of Bees, though.
I thought it sucked as well.
Well, you know why? And the other thing is, the last 15 minutes, the movie just completely unravels into this artistic weird crap.
Yeah.
And
it just didn't make any sense. In the end, I felt confused and violated.
Yeah. It was one of those things that it was like a kind of sucks going into the end, and then it got to the end, and I'm just like, yeah, that sucks.
Cool. All right. Well, speaking of movies that were interesting going into the end.
Okay.
Next up is Max Payne, in which Mark Wahlberg plays a cop who is hunting his family's killers, and he uncovers a drug ring with mystical powers.
Hey, Zonky, what's going on? You're a Zonky. I like that. You eat apples, right? I produce Entourage. Now I'm gonna talk to a chicken. Hey, chicken, how's it hanging? A lot of people want to eat you, but I just want to talk to you, okay? We should do a film together. What do you think? Chicken, I'm not joking around, okay? This is the real thing. I mean, this could be huge. Now I'm gonna talk to a goat. I like your beard. I had a beard like that in The Perfect Storm. Did you see that movie? Did you see The Perfect Storm, goat? Say hi to your mother for me, okay?
Now, I need to say this up front.
That was an exact clip from the movie. That's the first 30 seconds of how the movie starts.
Say hello to your mother for me.
He's like, now I'm going to talk to a Valkyrie. What's up, Valkyrie?
But
you fly around and get people who are dead. What's up with that?
I think, let me just say this. The Saturday Night Live skit, very funny. Significantly more entertaining than what we saw with Max Payne, the actual film.
Bite your tongue.
And let me speak, and then you can refute all you want. I was very highly annoyed with this film for a couple reasons. One is that it literally, you know, you sit there through an hour and 40 minutes of almost nothing, only to have the movie explode, you know, for 20 minutes of awesome action. Mm-hmm. It was 20 minutes of badass. And the rest of the movie made me want to punch a toddler. It was terrible. The dialogue was horrible.
And you did. You walked out of the theater and you found a toddler and you punched him.
The plot was terrible. And some of the bad guys, some of the henchmen, it was literally, and this is a perfect analogy because it's a video game adaptation. It was like Max Payne was on the expert level and all the bad guys were on like novice, like mentally disabled level.
Well, but you know, that's what's going to happen. You can't have like all of a sudden, you know, the stormtroopers aren't going to suddenly become crack shots in the Star Wars movie because the movie would be over within 5 minutes.
There's a scene where there's a sniper with a sniper rifle 10 feet away from him and he shoots at him and misses him by like 6 feet.
Well, you know what?
You could have hit him with the barrel of the gun.
You know,
terrible.
Wow.
It just annoyed me.
Yeah, but did you get annoyed? When did you get annoyed? Did you like watch like the first half and you're like, "Hey, wow, that's cool."
Probably about halfway through.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I enjoyed it. Not only because it had Olga Kurylenko in it, who is ridiculously hot.
When she was taking off her clothes, I was good.
Oh yeah, I was totally into that. But not only was Olga in it, but I just thought the action was fun, and I thought it was stylized enough, but it wasn't like trying to be Sin City, and it was dark enough, but it was still an accessible story, and it has this sort of mystical power thing with Valkyries and stuff that was really kind of cool, and Mila Kunis was hot in it, and yeah, not everything made sense.
Well,
but it was a nice.
Hold on a
big
second there.
What?
Mila Kunis was hot, but completely out of place.
But I didn't say she was in place. I said she was hot.
I'm sure it was very fun for her to like beat some ass and to carry around a gun, but she doesn't. She's not a Russian gangster mob leader.
I would believe it if that would, you know, get her to take off her top or something.
I'm not buying it.
I'd buy it.
I don't know.
I'd buy that for a
dollar. That was one of the other things that kind of annoyed me about the film. And I liked Mark Wahlberg in the movie. I thought he was good.
Yeah.
Because he didn't talk for most of
it. He produces Entourage.
He does. Say hello to your mother for me. So, all right.
I know why you were mad. You were mad because the speedster shows up for like 2 seconds in the movie and then disappears.
Bria Grant from Heroes. Yeah. Yeah. There were two Heroes characters in it. The other guy, the other villain guy. I don't know.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
I'm saying sucks.
It rocked.
Whatever. We'll be back.
a hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And we're back. We're talking box office now, I think.
Sure.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, yeah. Talk box office. Rock on, man.
Anyways, let's start with what happened last week at the box office last weekend. It was, once again, the Taco Bell dog on top with Beverly Hills Chihuahua at 17
yes.
million.
Now, that was the one that I predicted, if you don't recall.
Yeah, I will concede that much to you. You did say that Beverly Hills Chihuahua would win, and I would like to commend you for standing up to everyone else who said Beverly Hills Chihuahua was a big steaming pile of dog poop.
Have you seen it?
No, I'm saying that it was good that you stood up for yourself.
But you're still claiming you still think it's a big steaming pile of dog poop, right?
I'm saying that I have no interest in seeing it. So it's not for me, though. That's clear.
No, it's not. But I'll tell you, it's
for little kids and Mexicans, obviously.
Wow. Okay. Sure. Robert Fury from Film School Rejects wrote an article about how people all maligned it, but then everyone who sees it is like, well, it's kind of a cute little family film. I mean, it's not going to win awards or anything like that, and it's kind of a dumb story. It's no more dumb than like the Herbie movies, which were Walt Disney films.
Right.
So no, I support
the Hannah Montana movies.
Well, there's only been one, and that was just a concert, really.
Or High School Musical. So. That's probably it.
High School Musical's okay, but High School Musical, it is what it is. You know?
Right.
They make more money than you and me combined. That's for doggone sure.
Well,
the assistants to like Zac Efron make more money than you and me combined.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do. I need to like move out to California and be Zac Efron's assistant.
Zefron's assistant.
Yeah, why not?
Doesn't that sounds like an alien?
I don't have anything better to do.
Like Zefron, Klaatu Barado, Zefron.
Nice.
That movie's gonna be terrible. The Day the Earth Stood Still.
It might be, except that it's got Mad Men's John Hamm in it, and he's awesome. So,
well, that's cool. But it also has Keanu Reeves as Klaatu, who's gonna be like, "Whoa, you know, if like the Earth die, if you die, the Earth lives." Yeah,
dude.
And I know kung fu.
And if you go surfing, then the Earth might not die.
He's like,
I don't know.
I played Ohio State football, and now I'm an FBI
agent. He did?
No, in Point Break, he did.
Oh.
His character was a Buckeye in Point Break.
Sweet.
With Bodie. Bodie duty.
Nice.
I don't know what I just said.
Anyways, rounding out the box office last week, we had Quarantine in second, which I believe they're saying that this is a big victory for Quarantine.
Huge victory. Yeah.
It being a horror remake, making $14 million.
And it topped the box office on Friday night, too. Friday's numbers, it was number one, whereas everything else, then it got overtaken by Beverly Hills Chihuahua. But Quarantine is a great Halloween movie.
I see. I'm totally, you know, sure.
You're not disagreeing with me. See, this is when it's boring. Even Crazy Lakes Connie last week said, yeah, we're best when we're, like, arguing.
Yeah, I can't argue much with the...
Let's talk more about Max Payne.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that here in a second. Body of Lies finished third. That's, you know, it got beat.
Yeah.
It happens. But yeah, let's move on to this week. And I think Max Payne's going to be number one this weekend. It's the widest release. They're advertising the absolute crap out of this thing. Yeah. And I don't think people care enough about W to go see it.
I will be surprised if W's even in the top three.
Yeah, I would put it in the top five, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not in the top five.
Well, and the bottom line with W
like sixth or seventh.
Well, the bottom line with W, and I found this, and I said this back when it was really starting to make, you know, production notes and news. I'm like, nobody wants to see this movie. The conservatives don't want to see it because it's maligning President Bush. Or even just Republicans in general. The Democrats. Well, they want to see it, but they're all about Obama right now. They don't want to worry about Bush. They want to worry about getting Obama elected. He's lame ducked in there. Both candidates are going away from him. And, you know, if he came out in 2004, yeah, maybe it would have had an impact, but it's just really the giant, who cares, why are you even doing this kind of movie?
Yeah, it's almost irrelevant.
And I know a lot of people like you who lean to the left anyways and didn't like it either.
Well, I just, there was just nothing. Yeah, there was just nothing going on with it. I mean, it was a very boring film, a very incoherent film. So,
well, and there's another thing I didn't like about it. Like, JFK was kind of all over the place, but cohesive in there. And like, Nixon was overblown and too long, and he really overdid sort of like the stylized version of it. This one, he kind of made a normal movie, and then he like go have these bursts of artistic points, and there's a dream sequence, and I'm like, what in God's name's happening here? And I got a question for you. There's a scene in the movie, it's when he meets Laura Bush at a cookout, and he walks over to her, and then there's suddenly this cutaway, this close-up of him stepping on a corn cob. Do you remember
that
shot?
I don't know
what
that was for.
When it was so like jarring, and I'm like, what are they saying? Is that supposed to be like a message about?
What do they mean?
Is he talking about like alternative fuels? You know, because he's crushing corn. I mean, just like,
or
what?
Him stepping on the earth, or
but
I didn't get
the earth. It was a corn cob. It made no sense.
It wasn't very green living, but I mean, either way.
Yeah.
I
think Beverly Hills Chihuahua is going to be number two.
I kind of have to agree. Although I think I wouldn't be surprised if Quarantine continues to do well.
Oh,
I think it's getting some good buzz.
Well, and it's also, it got so much good buzz, and it came in high in the box office, and there's no horror movie to compete against it until next week when Saw comes out.
Yeah. So, I think despite the fact that Max Payne was a big letdown, for me, it's
for you,
because
you just didn't understand it.
Because I'm the only one that matters. My
opinion didn't understand it. You weren't smart enough.
Oh, yeah.
That's my new thing. Well, that's what pompous critics out like in like the New York critic circles are like, oh, well, you didn't like Funny Games because you just didn't understand it. I'm like, no, I understood it, and it was terrible.
And I understood that it was dumb. So there you go. So, all right, cool. So I think we're unfortunately agreeing here that Max Payne's going to do well. Moving along here, we got some news topics to talk about. We don't have an indie spotlight this week because there's really not any. I mean, the only indie movie that's really coming out is What Just Happened, but we're going to talk about that next week. So,
and you didn't see that in Sundance. Oh.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Well, I keep forgetting what I did and did not see at Sundance.
Yeah.
Although it, no, it didn't play at Sundance. Did it play at Sundance?
I don't know. I wasn't there. You
Neither
were cool. And yes, you were. You were there not taking advantage of girls asking to do anything for tickets to Be Kind Rewind.
This is true.
God,
why
you,
did I do that?
Yeah, then you let Jack Black go and completely mac on him for tickets.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he's Jack Black.
Damn you, Jack Black. Say.
Anyways, so moving on, we had some Star Wars. No, not Star Wars. Star Trek.
No. Wow, you are out of it tonight.
I know, I'm getting tired. I'm ready for my nap.
I'm not going to tell the audience what time it is because it's embarrassing, but do you live in a nursing home?
Yeah, no, but I get a nap.
Do you have the sing-along and then bingo later tonight that you got to rest up for?
I'm on the weirdest sleep schedule where really? I literally will be up all night and then take a nap in the middle of the afternoon and then be up all night.
Yeah,
it's like,
see, that's awesome.
18 hours on, 6 hours off.
It's, do you know why that's
not good?
Do you know why that's so awesome though? Because like nobody bothers you in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Especially
sure.
You who doesn't have a girlfriend who's going to be like, "Hey, Neil, we need to have sex." or your boyfriend.
I don't really want to talk about this.
Would you like me to call you and just say, hey, and do a high squeaky voice? Hey, Nia, we need to have sex. Just so you can pretend?
No.
Okay, you sure?
No, because that will scar me for life.
Really? Oh, I'm going to do it now.
Nice. God, what were we talking about? Oh,
we were
Star Trek
about
photos.
You
we
not
got some
having
new
sex.
Well, that I think that we've beaten that topic into the ground over the last.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, so have you.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways. I need Harpo Marx to follow me around with like a horn.
or you need like a band to do the drums.
Yeah, just a little rim shot. Rim job, I mean.
Wow.
Oh, did I say that?
I think that just happened.
Oh, flapjack.
That's awesome. Anyways, so we had these new Star Trek photos. And see, you know a lot more about Star Trek than I do.
Yes.
I'm good when it comes to
what Iron Man's nothing. Underwear looks like.
Yeah, certain comic books, I suppose. I guess Marvel characters. But when it comes to Star Trek, I got nothing, man. Really? So I feel like, you know, a buffoon writing about, you know, even more of a buffoon than I normally feel.
Go with like, the feeling.
Writing about Star Trek. So I was not impressed. I wrote this up this week for Film School Rejects. And my personal take on it is it looks very glossy, and it looks kind of like a show that you'd see on the CW, and it's, you know, it's kind of like Star Trek the teen years. But, you know, for people who haven't seen it, it's shows the entire cast and, you know, in their uniforms, whatnot. Yes. In the IKEA designed new bridge of the Enterprise.
The bridge is a little more stylized, but I mean, it doesn't look like any worse than an upgrade they've made going to like the, you know, going to like the Next Generation, which really looked somewhat 90s-ish, you know. So, I mean, I think that it looks good. Just the stills we've got are, you know, still not a whole lot, but it looks like they are doing a mix of the old school clothing with the newer,
well, I
newer
guess,
look.
And somebody tried to explain it to me today, saying that these are like, you know, the cheaper uniforms. They kind of look like cheap uniforms, but it's, you know, it starts with them all in
Starfleet Academy.
Starfleet Academy. So yeah, they would kind of have the cheap uniforms, you know, the starter kit uniforms.
Well, but this looks exactly like what they wore in the 60s. Not exactly, but it looks much more like what was worn in the 60s than even like Star Trek the motion picture or the subsequent films.
Yeah. See, I think I got to go back and watch those because I have no idea what this is all about. Like, I understand the characters and I, you know.
Hey, all I have to say, they got mini skirts on the bridge, man. I'm happy
about
that.
They
do? Yeah, look at the one, the bridge with, yeah, that's the old school star. And what's great is like now women are fitter now and their bodies are a little more sculpted, so they're not like flabby like they were in the 60s, so the girls are going to look even hotter.
Are you saying that all women in the 60s were flabby?
No, but a lot of women were. They didn't have the tone. They didn't have muscle tone. It was the twiggy time, so like
nobody worked out back then.
Well, yeah. Well, it's like look at Rocky in the first movie. I mean, he's not a girl, but look at Rocky in the first movie and look at Rocky.
He didn't look good in that skirt.
No, he didn't. He was a little flabby. He had some cellulite on his butt cheeks.
Jeez. I don't know. I have faith that J.J. Abrams will do a good job, but I think what people are going to have to get over is that he's creating like a new generation of Star Trek.
Yeah. Although I will tell you, they've got a fuzzy shot of. I liked it. I think it looks good. We ran out of time.
Nice. Time to go to break. When we come back, we're going to wrap you up. You up here on Fat Guys the Movies. Of course, I want to say
I'm totally interrupting you because I'm a jerk.
That's okay.
Go ahead and finish.
If you're listening to us on the internet, you may have missed the internet only segment. You are not going crazy. We didn't have one this week, and it's really because we had such a mammoth internet only segment last week that we were so burnt out with we had nothing to talk about. So
we had two interviews, yeah, last week.
We did. So, you know, I mean, if you're really hankering for some internet-only love, go back to last week and listen to that one again. So,
or you can listen to one of the other 86 shows that we have online.
Yes, yes. Because I know there's a lot of you out there that haven't listened to the entire archive, and you really need to, you know, get on that. So,
yes.
Anyways, moving on to the DVD roundup.
See, even in the virtual studio in the sky, I managed the awesome sound effect. I'm going to take over that crazy-looking dude from Police Academy doing sound effects for, like, Geico commercials.
Although, if we could get him on the show, we should go for it. I think we should
absolutely.
Try and get him on the show.
Oh, yeah. We will kick anybody on the show.
Totally.
I mean,
all right.
We had David Arquette.
We very much did.
Yeah.
So what's your DVD pick this week?
Well, it's this little known independent film called Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. In two disc, you can get it in single disc and full screen, but get it two disc widescreen. and you can get it on Blu-ray. I love the movie. I was a big fan, and I've always been a big fan of Indiana Jones. I'm an apologist for the movie. And what's neat about it is they have a whole documentary about the development. I mean, like, the development of the film, like, when they were developing it in the early 90s.
I love all the names. And, like, they give all the crazy names that they came up with, like Indiana Jones and the Spacemen.
And the stuff. Saucer Men.
Saucer Men, that's what it was.
Well, and even on that, even though Spielberg gives his due diligence to blame Lucas for the alien side plot, when Lucas explains what he was going for, I have to say it totally and utterly makes sense. And as easy of a target as Lucas is for fanboys and people all over the place, I think he makes a lot of sense when he says, you know, the other ones, which were from based on the 30s, and in spirit, the 40s, which were about the serials, were about people fighting other people, and you had the Nazis for the World War II backdrop. In the 50s, it was a different world, and what the pop culture was going for, it was basically mutant creatures and alien spaceships in the 50s. That was the genre pick of that era, and that's why he did it, because it takes place in the 50s, and he was giving a nod to the pop culture of the time. So I think the explanation for that, I'm just like, wow, that totally does make sense, which I think I mentioned in my original review, but it's nice to know that George Lucas backed me up on it.
It's nice to know that you and George are on the same page there.
Yes.
Nice. All right. Well, my pick is Chaplin with Robert Downey Jr.
Starring Iron Man himself.
Starring in Iron blackface. Man. It's the 15th anniversary edition. This is the first time I've ever seen Chaplin, and it's a fantastic film. I mean, we're talking just powerful performance from Robert Downey Jr. So. Really?
Wasn't Chaplin a fascist?
He was accused of being one.
Okay.
But, you know, what surprised me about this is the depth of the cast, you know, like David Duchovny has a very small role in it, and
as a sexual addict.
Yeah. And Mila Jovovich when she was like 16, or she at least plays a 16-year-old. So
I love Mila Jovovich.
She gets naked in the movie.
Does she? So I may have to see this film.
Yeah. It's directed by Richard Attenborough.
Yes.
So
the guy from Jurassic Park.
Most fondly known to be as being the guy from Jurassic Park. He was also a director.
Yes.
Oddly enough.
Who was not directing Jurassic Park.
Right. No, that was the guy who did that Indiana Jones movie.
So, yeah.
Who, if you watch the special features, he really does allow George Lucas to take the brunt of the alien subplot.
But I still love George Lucas, because George Lucas, he's like an out-of-control kid on the Jerry Springer Show, where he's like, I do what I want, man.
Well, and I think he's like the infant among them. You know, like they come up with an idea, and then he's like, no, we have to do it my way, or I'm leaving.
Yeah,
you know. And then they're like, all right, fine, George. Yeah. So, anyways, what's the stinker of the week?
Would be Kill Switch, starring Steven Seagal, who has gotten so fat that they literally have to drop frames from the film to make him fight people.
To make him look fast.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, they do. And I just thought it was that clip that you had on Film School Rejects a couple weeks ago. No, it's like through the whole film. I actually watched it. And it's anytime there's a fight scene, they drop frames and they speed it up. And he like sits on a guy to get him to talk.
Nice.
And he tries to do
He sits on a guy?
Yeah, yeah. And he tries to do this Memphis accent. It takes place in Memphis, Tennessee. So he tries to do this sort of the Southern drawl. And it is awful. And he wrote the movie. And like the movie, I'm going to blow the ending. The movie ends with him like suddenly going and having sex with this like hot blonde Russian girl that makes no sense to the rest of the film. And I'm like, he's like, I'm going to write this because she just has to show me her chest.
Very nice. Yeah. All right, cool. moving on, quick review wrap up. Let's see, what do we have this week?
Sex Drive,
which you said.
Rocked.
And then we had The Secret Life of Bees, which you also saw.
Sucked.
Then we had W, and I said, that sucks.
And I said, that sucks.
And then we had Max Payne, which I said also sucks.
And I said it rocked.
Oh, so there. Wow. Anyways, next week we're another full boat. We got High School Musical 3, and we'll have Saw 5, which I doubt we'll be able to review, and Pride and Glory with Colin Farrell. So that's it. If you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysandmovies.com. We'll catch you next week and stuff.
Ta-tas for now.
Say hi to your mother for me, okay?